I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to this 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. In this chapter, we have a strange sermon. In this chapter, we have a stranger congregation. And in this chapter, we have even a more strange outcome. I want to deal with the strange sermon. I want to deal with the stranger congregation. And I want to deal with this strangest outcome. If you look with me at verse 1 of the chapter, you will find some matters concerning the standing of the preacher who preached this sermon. We have his ordination, the hand of the Lord was upon me. This man, Ezekiel, if you read carefully the whole of his prophecy, was a very special prophet and a very special preacher. But here he refers to the secrecy of his power and of his ministry by declaring the hand of the Lord was upon me. He makes no reference to man's part in his ordination as a prophet or as a preacher. He dismisses the part of humanity and he exalts the all-important part of deity in his ordination as a prophet of God. Just think for a moment of how many men who have had the hand of the Lord upon them in the history of this world of ours. Some came from utter darkness into God's marvelous light. Some were unknown and unheard of until the Lord put his hand upon them. And some of them paid the utmost price for their loyalty to the Christ of God by sealing their ministry with the parting of their blood. The hand of the Lord was upon me. Happy the preacher. Happy the minister. Happy the pastor. Happy the teacher, who can know without a shadow of a doubt that the hand of the Lord has been laid upon him to do the task of God's doing and of God's commandment. The hand of the Lord. And may God start within our hearts a desire that we might share in the hand of the Lord. Oh, that God would lay his hand on every saint of God in this house today. Oh, that God would lay his hand on every saint of God in our city today. What a difference would be brought about by the power of the touch of the Master's hand. But this hand that touched God, touched the preacher by the hand of God, it caused him to be a man not only of ordination, but of separation. Where did it call this man to? He was carried out in the Spirit. It lifted him from the place where he was to a place of mighty service for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He not only had the experience of ordination, but he had the locality of separation. He was carried out. Before God can use anyone to his glory, he has to separate that person from men, from peoples, from nations, and from tongues. And so it happened to Ezekiel. But look at that first verse again, and you'll find his humiliation. He was not taken to that valley just to look at it from out of the power of the mighty wind that had lifted him from his feet and carried him to the place. No, this was a valley of humiliation. He was set down. He was associated by the power of God to the midst of that valley, to the most hideous part of these filthy bones that lay there in their entire weakness and paralysis. He is identified with those that he has come to declare the truth of God to. And then you'll notice that he was not brought to the edge of the valley, but he was brought to the midst of the valley, and he had a grand excursion around the whole valley. The valley was open to him. The valley was filled with dry bones, and the valley was a place where there was a blazon of the signpost. Death! 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 And here is this man educated in that valley, educated to study the absolute and total need of that man. No power of man could solve the situation. It must be the power of God. If God doesn't move, those in the valley will not move. If God does not blow with his mighty spirit upon the whole of the inhabitants and their bones of that valley, all will be in vain. But God is there. God's man is there. God's purpose is declared. And God's power is already to do the miracle that's needed to be done in order to save that valley from remaining a graveyard, but becoming a place out of which came a great and mighty army for the Lord. So keep in mind the prophet's ordination. Keep in mind the prophet's separation. Keep in mind the prophet's humiliation. Keep in mind the prophet's education. And then just let's have a look at that congregation. Who are they? Who are these people? These are a people that once knew their God. They're a people who took part in the battle for God's faith, for God's light, for God's information and inspiration. They were a people that in the past had done exploits for God. But now they lie as a heap of dry, deadly bones in that valley. The congregation, who were they? They were once strong, but now they're dead. They were once strong in prowess and battling power. But now they had lost all strength and in fact lay rotting and corrupting in the bottom of that valley. Who were they? They had once been great soldiers, but old death had challenged them, entered into conflict with them, and murdered them all. So much for the congregation. Look at the challenge that congregation faced. Where were they? They were in the open valley. All people could get in, but they could not get out because they were dead. There wasn't one particle of life about them. They lay there rotting in that massive valley. But there's something else. There is the question, where were they? They were in a valley that was not closed. They were in a valley that had not put up the chains. They were in a valley that could be approached and could be left if they had the power to leave it. And so we see the situation of the preacher. We see the situation of the people. What shall I do, the prophet might say. And in fact, God issued the challenge, Son of Man, can these bones live? Can this dead valley be changed to a valley of life. Can the stench and the sin and the darkness and the tragedy be undone? Is it possible? Or will this valley become more dreadful in the coming days as the bones rot more and there is more judgment to fall upon them? Can these bones live? That challenge today comes to us all, and we all make our own response to it. But the old prophet was wise when he answered. He said, O Lord God, thou knowest. It's beyond anything that I can do. It's beyond any method that I might employ. I can only say, O Lord God of heaven, thou dost know. And when he said that, the Lord said something more. He said, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear me, the preacher. No. Attend to the church. No. Practice the sacraments. No. What does he say? He said to the prophet, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the preacher. No. Hear what the pulpit's saying. No. Hear the word of the Lord. There is only one power that can put the disorders of our society right, and that's the power of the word of the living God. The dynamite of God's truth. The wonderful revelation of God's way of salvation. But the Lord went further. He said, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause a miracle, breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Notice that the preacher changed from talking to the prophet, and he talked directly to the dry bones. And he said unto these dry bones, he said, thus saith the Lord unto these dry bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I will do a miracle that no one can do but God Almighty. The only way out of our nation's plight and the nations of this world's plight is that God steps in the intervention of God. And he said, I will cause breath to enter into you and ye shall live. If you had been writing this, you would have written it in order, wouldn't you? You would have said, I will lay sinews upon you. I'll bring up your flesh. I'll cover you with skin. I'll put breath in you. Ye shall live and ye shall know that I am the Lord. But he didn't say that first. God's order is always right. God starts at the place where man can never start, because man is impotent, but God is almighty. And the preacher said, God said, I will cause breath to enter into you. What did the prophet do? Did he say, I'm not going to be a fool. I'm not going to stand out in this terrible, stinking place of dead bones. I'm not going to be any part of this. No, look at it. Verse 7. I prophesied as I was commanded. There is only one way to do the will of God, and that is to obey God. There's plenty of worldly wisdom Christians about who bring all their arguments and bring all their reason and argue their philosophies and their theologies. But this old preacher said, I just obeyed God. God is looking not for students or clever people. God's looking for obedient people who will do what God says and will stand true to Him. And what happened? There was a great noise. There must have been. Think of hundreds of thousands of bones coming together. Some rattle. When God works, He works, and there's always a noise of the shaking of God. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bones. If you had brought all the medical students of the world together and said, here's all these bones, I want you to fit them accurately together, they've still been working. They couldn't have done it. It's only a miracle can save the human soul. It's only a miracle that can save the immorality of a sinful society. It is nothing in the preacher that will do it, but in everything is in what the preacher is saying at the command of God. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. No breath. The job will not be done until God's breath is manifested among the saints of God. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I might love what thou dost love, and do what thou must do. Breathe on me, breath of God. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. A valley of dry bones. A valley of dead bones. A valley of stinking bones. Corrupting in their own mortality. And yet God says, Four winds blow, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived. And I asked, could they go to bed and sleep? They did none of the sort. They lived and stood upon their feet. There wasn't a lazy one amongst them. There was no long sleepers amongst them. They were all thoroughly awakened by the miracle. And they were an exceeding great army. They didn't say, we'll now rest ourselves. They said, we'll go out and fight. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, and ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our arms. This is the miracle of miracles, and this is the breath that we need in the church today. The breath that makes the slain one to leave the grave with a mighty baptism of power upon him by the strengthening agency of the Spirit of God.